You're tuning into the Active Mom Podcast with physical therapist, Dr. Carrie Pagliano, a real mom's guide to all things postpartum return to workouts after baby. If you're a postpartum mom, coach, trainer, or physical therapist looking for answers on how to get back to running, CrossFit, yoga, Pilates, HIIT, you name it, without the fear of pelvic floor issues or doing something wrong, this is the podcast for you. Let's start the show. As a physical therapist, there's nothing I love more than having a plan that works and a client with results that makes them jump literally for joy without the wet pants, without any pain, and without feeling like their organs are going to fly out of their body. If you're a postpartum coach, trainer, or physical therapist like me, and you want to get those results that are going to make you jump for joy, make sure to get on the wait list for the Real Mom's Guide to Postpartum Return to Run Pro Edition coming in September. Go to course.carriepagliano.com/R2R Pro 22 to get on the wait list now. Can't wait to see you there. All right. So I am sure you all have that friend that they do things and try them out and test them out before you, right? Like they have kids before you, they, you know, start marathon training, they do all these things before you, right? And so they're kind of your guinea pig, but they're still really your good friend. That is who we have on today. We have my very, very good friend, Lauren Sock. She is the owner of Functionize Health and Physical Therapy. She has a couple locations outside Atlanta. And Lauren has been my friend 25 years. I don't even know, like, that yes. sounds, we're, you know, since we graduated PT school when we were 13. Oh, yeah. And so I invited Lauren on today because she is that friend for me. So she is three kids, two finishing high school this year. She's got twins. And then another soon to be high schooler. And she just does all the things ahead of me, even though she borrowed my notes in PT school. So thank you for coming on. She has no idea what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. You know that I have been your biggest fan. I've been your ride or die friend. I pull you along on things that are very unexpected. So now you have set me up to answer a bunch of questions on this podcast, and I'm excited for the journey.
Yes. Okay. So Lauren made me promise. She's like, okay, no Vogue 73 questions. And I didn't know what that was, which would have been a really good idea. So we won't do that. But no, I wanted to have you on for a couple of different reasons. One, because I've known you for so long, and I really honestly don't remember you, and I could just be wrong, I don't remember you as active at any other time in your life as you are now. Like, I don't, and again, we were different years in PT school, but like, I don't remember when you started doing marathons and half marathons and triathlons and training for all this stuff. Like, it was definitely after kids, but I don't remember it much in high school. So for you, like, I know you played tennis growing up and that kind of thing.
But I did play tennis.
When did that big journey sort of shift, and was it postpartum?
So believe it or not, I started running in college. It was actually on a dare.
One of my maybe that's why I don't know that.
In PT school, right. One of my friends, Dan, who I know you remember, he was a big workout, you know, fanatic. And he said, Lauren, I bet you're not going to run more than 9 times. And I don't like to lose a competition when I hold myself accountable. And so I did it 9 times and then I just didn't stop. So, so it has been part of my life. Running has been part of my life for, you know, 25-ish years. And I would say, like, there was 3 times that I remember that I've taken a hiatus, either because I had kids or I tore my ACL and I needed to take that hiatus. But, you know, after we have kids, or when our kids are old enough that to allow us to dedicate time and energy to being the true athlete that we are meant to be, magical things can happen. And for me, I knew that I was not great at holding myself accountable to a training plan per se, where I pushed myself. And so I realized I needed a coach. I realized that I needed a tribe of people to help me along the way and to commiserate with, because otherwise I was just in a silo of just being around other moms.
Yeah.
And other moms are in the same struggle, which was great. But I wanted a group of people of all ages, all ability levels. And like, we helped each other along through different parts of our training. And that's what's really become magical in terms of my dedication to fitness, which is truly my, you know, non-negotiable at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, just for backstory for you guys. So like, Lauren's my friend that like, she called me this morning when I was literally in the middle of a WOD. And it was like, we were literally 3, 2, 1. And then my phone goes off.
Yes.
So
yes.
Like 6:15 in the morning. And we do normally talk.
And at that point, I have worked out, right? You and I are like, have worked out. Yes. My 5 a.m. workouts. Yes.
You are one of the very few people that can get a workout in before me. and it's mostly because I'm doing it at the same time, or I've done it after you.
Right.
But no, so for you, I mean, you know, the boys are now 17, 18 up mm-hmm. there.
They're seniors in high school, my twins. Yep.
Twins. Like, I remember when you were pregnant with them. And I remember thinking, I mean, I was doing pelvic health at that point, but I don't remember thinking like, oh, how are you going to get back to blah, 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 because mm-hmm. you're having a twin pregnancy and C-section and that sort of thing. Like, I just don't remember it occurring. Like, I remember sending you flowers, but it never occurred because you were like my first friend to have, you know, kids. And I was like, it never occurred to me. And it just sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my experience with your twin pregnancy. What was your experience with your twin pregnancy?
Yeah. You know, the jogging stroller was my friend. And as they grew, that was like progressive resistance, you know, that I would push them along. But at that point, it really was just to check a box that I had worked out and that I was being the mom that I should be, for my kids, but for my family and for my own mental health. So I would say, you know, I would sign up for, I guess I didn't actually sign up for a race until my daughter. So my daughter's 12. She's in seventh grade. So it was then that I was like, I like having a goal, and this was going to be my goal.
So for you, like, that's, I mean, I know that's always been your personality. Like, you needed to have a thing, but I mean, you think about, you know, 17, 18 years ago, there was no postpartum return to anything program.
Right.
It was, you know, do you think that you would have gone back to that stuff? Like, was it your personality that kind of made you go back? Was it your, you know, background being a PT in sports and that kind of stuff? Was it really that combination? Or what do you think it was that was like, okay, I need to do this and figure it out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that it's probably my personality. I have to hold myself accountable to something. Yeah. And that was something I could control. Meaning I created an environment that allowed me to keep that in my life, which was literally pushing my kids in a stroller so that they would take a nap. Right. So we had to fit it in. And so I think that that's kind of what it was. It just made me feel like I was something and working towards something amidst all of the chaos of raising kids. But I was never like, you know, nowadays everybody puts so much thought into how they're going to return to fitness after having a child and what it takes and what their body looks like. Like, that was never in the cards. Like, I have never been super body conscious. I just was more health conscious. And I knew, the other thing about me is I'm a very balanced person. I know exactly what I need to do to keep balance in my life, sometimes to a fault because I have to control it. Right?
When do I get to comment here?
Right. But it allowed me to keep my mental health and feel like I was, I still was striving to be something better.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see that. Just knowing your personality, having that need to, this is something that I'm doing for myself. I have to do this piece of it. So really that everything else continues to do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, what jog strollers were around back then?
Well, you still had the, what's the Bob? The Bob.
Yeah. Oh, they had it back
those
then.
Were okay. There, but you know, they didn't have the ones with the shocks yet.
Oh,
so, geez. And it didn't have the pivoty wheel. It was the straight wheel.
I had the straight wheel though.
Yeah. So I guess you had, if you ran, you need the straight wheel, but they were, you know, the early Bob strollers. And that lasted me for like 5 years. I mean, I pushed them until they were five. Believe it or not, those growing boys, I pushed them. And
oh my gosh,
it was, but you know, that was our outing.
A double Bob with a fixed wheel. Like right. We only had the fixed wheel on the single. And the only reason we got it is because Brian's cousin lived, I don't know if I told you this. She lived in New York City. Uh-huh. And they had a house in the Hamptons and they couldn't figure out how to fold it up. And so they took the kid out to the Hamptons and the stroller out to the Hamptons and then came back with the kid and then went back, got the stroller and then came back so that they didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Sorry, Kirsten, true story. And so that they're like, do you want this? And I'm like, yeah, we do. But the single Bob with the fixed wheel was legit. But when we got the double, oh my God, like there's no way. Oh, it's super hard. I can't imagine.
We had to tilt it back and pivot it and maneuver. Yes, it was challenging.
And that's the thing. It's funny. We're talking about it like it's the dinosaur age, but it really wasn't that long ago, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's so much that has kind of happened in that time. And then Sienna's 12. So she's mm-hmm. just a little bit older because Gianni's turning 12 next couple of days, actually. But even that, like the only other thing I remember about you in between is like, for some reason, I didn't understand why you couldn't bring the twins to my wedding. But I was just like, all right, that's fine. Why can't you bring twins to Aruba?
Aruba, I know. Yeah, you have to let people know that was Aruba. Yes, that's very, very challenging and very expensive at that time. Yes.
Well, now I understand this. At the time, I was like, all right, whatever. So when Sienna came along, like mm-hmm. you have a third kid, that's out of, you know, I didn't leave the man to man. You know, I stuck with that. You went to zone. Like, what do you do at that point? You know, what's the big shift from a workout standpoint? Because mm-hmm. I mean, again, twins, I can't even wrap my head around. And then you add a third to it. Like, how did you, because you've been so consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you make that leap and still keep that consistency with a third?
Yeah. So I used to, when she was little, I would work out. I had a friend I would meet to go running at 8 p.m. at night.
Oh my gosh.
And that's all I could do. And I remember being so tired. This is interesting. I was so tired at the end of my day. I would eat dinner and I would take a nap from 7:15 to 7:45 and then get up and go running because I couldn't keep my eyes open, but I still needed to do my workout. And then that's when I decided I needed to do my first half marathon because I needed to stick to a plan. Right. And if I didn't stick to a plan, I probably wouldn't do it because I was so tired. And so, yeah, I just have always found a way to fit it in. And like now it's 5 a.m. is where I fit it in. And that's because after school, you got carpool and homework and stuff like that. So doing it later is just a little more challenging.
Yeah. Do you think, like if you'd had the kids, you know, 10 or 15 years later, so like more recently, do you think it would have been a different experience now that we have more guidance about how to go back to workouts or any of that stuff, or even just with you, what you know now, do you think that you would have done anything any differently?
Probably like the biggest thing would be more of the cross training, like running, just something that I did. And I had nagging injuries because I was just pounding the pavement, fully exhausted. Mm-hmm. So the cross training piece would probably have been a bigger part of it, whether it was a group class, or strength training, or, you know, I teach Pilates, like doing Pilates just to give my body a rest. I probably would have tried to find a way to fit that in. And that probably would have helped me find more community sooner.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, that really wasn't the trend for running at mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the interesting part too, is like, you know, we have all this knowledge as therapists. It's like, that wasn't a thing then. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, we should be doing this, but runners are just going to run.
Yeah.
And then we did our first CrossFit training together. Yeah. I guess it was 2016 in Chicago.
We did.
Yeah.
It was like mind blowing for us runners.
Like, oh shit, we gotta do that.
Yeah, we gotta lift heavy weights and we gotta do double unders. Like, how are we gonna do that?
Well, and I think that's such a funny time because obviously my kids are a lot younger than yours, but I've always been a very solo workout person. I don't like to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. I had a period of time that I was very critical of like who was teaching what and what they were saying. And I think right. You know, some of that is naive and some of it is also just like, hey, why are you there? Mm-hmm. And that was one of my first experiences where I'm like, oh, I can't do this on my own. Because running after Gianni, I was able to kind of find my way back. And then after Annalie, I was just like kind of super slow. That, and that's, I think, where you and I differ. You were going to do it come hell or high water. I was mm-hmm. not. I err on the little bit more side of rest than you.
But, yeah, right. But you get to see my whoop and see how bad it is.
Exactly. And I get to lecture you on your sleep.
My lack quality. Of sleep. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I think that you brought up such a good point earlier where you're like, all right, well, we have this community, you know, from a mom perspective, but, you know, it's almost like how postpartum exercise used to be taught. We're like, all right, there's this very, very basic stuff mm-hmm. And these mat things, but there was no, like, how do you bridge the gap between, you know, what you do in therapy or very early postpartum mommy and me programs and like doing these things like training for a half and things mm-hmm. like that. So your group experience kind of reflects that there was this huge gap.
Right.
And I think that's where I kind of felt too. I was just like, okay, well, I don't want to start basic, but I have these other needs too. Mm-hmm. And then later now there are very much these CrossFit communities that are a lot of moms and that sort of thing. I work out with some cool moms that our kids are about the same age and that sort of thing. And we have to get up early and do the thing. But I don't know that I would have done that, you know, in the reverse. I don't know that I would have done that 15 years ago. I wouldn't have thought to do that kind of strengthening or figure that piece out. But
yeah. And you know, a lot of times you're trying, like after you have kids, you're always trying to go back to who you used to be. Like true, like you think that you'll be able to get back there at some point. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think it was probably probably about 10 years after I had my boys. So we had moved to the suburbs. We were in Atlanta, you know, in town Atlanta, and we moved to the suburbs of Atlanta. And I went on this run and I was listening, funny enough, to Adele's Hello. And I don't know if the lyrics say like, hello from the other side. And I started bawling because I was like, you know what? I have to grieve the loss of my former self. And I have not done that because I wanted to always get back to how I felt, being free and being able to go run when I wanted to run or work out. I don't know why it took me 10 years, but to realize like, it's never going to be that way. Like it's always going to be a schedule. It's always going to be intentional. Like get over trying to be that person that you used to be and start to own your new self and your own reality that it is. And maybe that was like the biggest shift for me that you asked about was like, stop complaining and being like, oh, I can't get there. I'm not good enough. I'm not this, like, just do it for yourself now, not for who you used to be. And that was a big shift thanks to Adele and her song.
Thank you for the montage there. No, I think that brings up a good point. And you know, you know where I live, there's a lot of older moms and mm-hmm. I run into that a lot. And you know, I was 34, I think, when I had Gianni, and 36 when I had Analia. And you are used to having things a certain way and then it's not. Mm-hmm. And I do distinctly remember it just felt like you were banging your head against the wall. I was waiting for the perfect time. And of course he never slept and all that crap. And you know, how could I, you know, do a meditation if it couldn't be this perfect 30 minutes or a yoga if I couldn't get through the whole video or this is my personal favorite or a run if it wasn't 40 minutes. And like that one I held on to till recently. Like, so I took 11 years to let go of that one. But there was definitely but running for me, I think too. And again, throw the pandemic in there too. Like that was always my place that I could, I probably cried in a lot more runs and didn't need Adele to do it. Because you're just like, what the hell? But I think that's such a I feel like every mom has to go through that, but it's not, it, I always say there's these conversations that you can have with women after they deliver, but not before. You can have the same conversation before, but they don't hear it in the same way. And I say that because I know I had that conversation. I know somebody tried to have that conversation with me. Mm-hmm. And you're always like, oh, well, that's just them. Or we'll never do that. We'll never let our kid lick the floor of a public place. Yeah, well, they do.
There's only so much you can stop them from
doing. And it's like a switch gets flipped. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I get it. And there's no other way to explain it. And I think that's one of those things that still you're starting to get it, but it's still, it took you 10 years to process. Like, you're going to be different. You're going to be older. You have, and you can get it logically, but like with that athlete brain, or even just like feeling it in your gut, it takes a while to turn it. And you have to mourn that this is a shift.
Yeah.
And I do think having kids, and I mean, you've got some poignant things going on this year with the boys graduating and going off to school, like the clock is ticking. And I think that's one of those first big ticks where you're like, boom, time is passing. You are not the person that you once were.
Yeah. And you know, even to that point of like, the other really important thing for me when it comes to fitness is I want to be a role model for my daughter. And she's 12. She's, you know, coming into her own body, but I want her to see her mom as something more than her mom and as different than, you know, her chauffeur, but like somebody that can really, like, she's like, wow, like my mom has done a lot of things. And when she ages and she becomes a mom, she realizes like she can do those things too. And that there's no limit to pushing your body or pushing your goals. And, you know, I look at my mom and, you know, my mom stayed active, but like, you know, she wasn't like doing anything, you know, out of the ordinary. And I want girls, young girls, to realize like what it looks to be strong, what it looks to be active and healthy. And that's truly one of my biggest motivations, is to show my daughter that like, I am so much more, but women in general are so much more.
Yeah. And, you know, pull the curtain back, full disclosure, during all of this, you've got three kids, you started a business that now has two locations. Mm-hmm. Like you're not sitting on your butt at all.
No.
You definitely, I was going to say you walk the talk, but you're really running the talk.
Quite literally.
Right. You know, now kind of, and I think this is a conversation that a lot of moms with younger kids don't necessarily think about having, but like a couple things, like looking back now, is there, you know, things that you would have changed? And then also kind of looking forward, because the next step for at least us is, you know, perimenopause and menopause and all that fun stuff. Like, what do you see that looking like? Because our moms are similar ages. I think our perimenopause and menopause are going to be very different than, you know, what our moms experience. So look back first, like, what would you have told your former, you know, yourself 18 years ago?
I would have given myself more grace, for sure.
I'm going to write these down and hold this up and show you.
Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, what were those ways you described me? I think I asked you a few months ago, what are the three things that you would do to describe me? One was determined. I am very determined, but you know, I think from a physical therapist perspective, I maybe would have been a little bit more understanding with my patients and, you know, tried to help them navigate it a little bit more instead of me being like, well, I'm able to fit it in. Why can't you fit it in? Right. Like, I'm a busy mom. Why can't you, like, realizing that You know, you talk about it a lot. And I mean, now my approach to treating is totally different, but like giving people those little bites of exercise or information that they can actually apply on a day to day, or, you know, a few minutes a day or a few minutes a week, kind of mindset, instead of being like, it has to be, you know, a 40 minute workout. Like there's tons of research showing, like if you break it up into two 15 minute workouts, like is that much of a difference? Like, I think I probably would have changed that and be like, okay, I'm just going to go do a short, you know, workout. And like, that's okay. If I don't get it, instead of running at 8 PM at night, like how can I make that easier on myself?
But you know what, back then, that's where I was like giving you some grace here. Like you had something to prove then.
True. Yeah.
Because moms weren't going back even, you know, 17, 18 years ago. Like, and that's where I look at pro sports. Like we were just trying to get at the table.
Yeah. You were absolutely right.
So that's where I was like, hey, you know, I always caution people when they look back, it's like, what was the context at the time? And you, I think you felt like you had something to prove, and knowing you, you were going to prove it.
That's very true. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I guess looking ahead, like the biggest thing for me is realizing like, I don't know everything. Like I'm a physical therapist, but when it comes to sports performance, like I need help. I need help understanding a lot of these things and breaking down, you know, one of my strengths is, you know, being analytical and breaking down numbers, but like I turning to somebody's, I like, I don't understand why I can't get faster in my runs. Like what is really holding me back, and understanding like heart rate zone training or my HRV, my heart rate variability when I'm sleeping, and realizing like it can be so much easier if you just have the knowledge. You know, knowledge is power. Like this whole process can be so much easier. Just ask questions and ask for help.
Yeah.
But sometimes as moms, we don't even want to ask for help, like to go to a coach and have them even to look at like a deadlift form, for instance. Like I was having some back pain recently, and like I got a coach. I mean, I've been doing deadlifts for, you know, a while now. And like, I still need a coach to help me. Like, why is my back bothering me now when it didn't bother me before? And it was just timing. He was like, you know, you need to first slow it down. You know, what does your eye gaze look like? How are your feet pushing through the ground? But like asking for help. And it may just be one time. It doesn't have to be that you're committing to this whole process. Like ask for help. I mean, or I have a dietitian on staff. I'll reach out to him and be like, you know what? Like, I'm doing all this exercise. I can't, you know, get my weight down. And she'll be like, well, Laura, you know, you need to change up some things. You're not eating enough protein. Like these foods are, your glycemic index is all over the place. Think about pairing, you know, an apple with peanut butter to maintain. Don't just eat the apple. I mean, it's little things, but like, just ask the questions and not feel like you're asking something that's dumb. I mean, all of us like need help. I mean, we sometimes, you know, patients be like, I'm going to ask you a dumb question. Like, how do I do a squat? I'm like, yeah, that's a great question. Cause there's a million ways to do a squat.
Right. But I think also too, not expecting that you should know the answer.
Right.
And I love that you said you're like that. I don't know everything. And that to me has been so freeing, that I don't have to know everything. And it just makes me chuckle of, you know, where we came from and, you know, where we met in PT school, where you're like, okay, we got to know the answers here.
Not everything. Yes, we did. I mean, when you came out of school, just like you had to know everything and every diagnosis, like
we knew nothing,
nothing,
nothing. I always tell people
that they thought that. Yeah.
No, I always tell people, I'm like, I learned in PT school how to not kill somebody, not to do harm. Like it's just, it's just enough to realize, okay, I can go do something, but it really like it's enough to be dangerous. It's enough to be self-aware that you don't know things and to go find out and to go learn and not pretend that you know everything. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the best things about getting older is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. But
the kids don't like that, but
yeah, but I can find somebody that knows it. And
What are your biggest fears, kind of as you look ahead, ideally you have a long life and we have future adventures together and things like that. But
we
like,
do.
What
do
you, that the fear is that I would not be there. No, I'm kidding.
what's your biggest fear? I need you with me.
Of course.
My biggest fear related to like fitness or being a mom or
all of it together. Just like, you know, aging as a female, as a mother.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, right now, like having two seniors in high school and realizing that they are going to be leaving me very soon, it is a very eye-opening. It's my heart feels very sad at times. Just knowing that like I have dedicated nearly 18 years of my life to raising kids that, you know, they say you raise your kids so that they don't become someone else's problem. And I'm seeing that they're going in that direction, but like, you know, that could change at any moment. They could make a really bad mistake going to college that could totally change my life.
Yeah.
And I just hope that I've given them the tools that they are successful and make good decisions, but there's no telling what that could be. So, you know, I guess, you know, my biggest fear as a mom is that they don't succeed and that I, you know, but you know, as far as like fitness and where I see myself, like I would say that for that and in getting older, like I feel the sky's the limit. Like I'm in better shape now than I've ever been. And the people that I train with, we have Track Wednesdays. It's one of my favorite things that we do. Here in Dunwoody, we started a running group. And we all meet at the track between 5 and 5:15 in the morning, one of the high school tracks. But the age range of the people that are there is unbelievable. And we're all there doing a different training plan. But the support is like, you know, if you catch up with somebody that's doing, you know, a sprint or they're doing like just a recovery lap, like you just hop in with them and you talk to them. And then you start on your, you know, whatever your workout is. And it is. And I realize like these people that I'm with, like, they are, you know, one of my great friends, he's 56. He finished the Houston marathon or half marathon at a pace of six and a half minute pace at a 56-year-old. Like that is amazing. And like, I want to be able to do that, but he's trained and put in the work. I don't know if I want to run that fast, but, but like to see these people doing these things is just, I'm like, for that purpose, like I'm going to keep pushing myself and see what I can do.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. I mean, I got a text from Lauren over the summer. It was like, I was at a swim meet and she's like, hey, do you want to hike the Grand Canyon? And I was like, all right, whatever. And I texted back, sure. And then not thinking anything of it. And the next morning she sends me a screenshot of her, of the hotel reservation and the flight reservation. I'm like, oh shit, we're doing this.
Yes, we are doing it.
Yeah, we did. We did rim to river to rim. We did it last Veterans Day. And I remember having real discussions with you like, okay, one is this, you know, like, are we doing something really stupid? Can we handle this? But I don't know that the conversation ever came up that we were worried that we couldn't physically do it.
Yeah, no, that was never,
I don't think that was ever
a thought.
No, the only thing I was a little worried about was your Achilles because it was a little fired up there. But you actually felt great. Yeah. But it was so cool to be, you know, mid-40s moms, and that wasn't part of this discussion. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, there's a lot of these groups online. They're like, okay, I'm going to train for a year to hike the Grand Canyon. I don't know that either one of us did anything particularly special to train because I had, you were training for something. I was training
We both did the 10
miler. Yeah, we were doing 10 milers. Right. Yeah, that's right. And so in retrospect, I'm like, when we finished, I'm like, that wasn't so bad. Like, I think I was far more terrified of it than what it actually was.
And yes.
We got great conditions and that kind of thing. But like, you know, did you ever think that you would, you know, be that mom that did those sorts of things and like run half marathons and, you know, do track workouts at 5:15 in the morning and hike the Grand Canyon? Like, did you ever envision yourself as that person, or has this kind of come as a little bit of a surprise?
I would say, no, I never envisioned it. You know, a lot of it started like when I started my company, we decided that community and giving back was a really important part of our business. So we started, I'm trying to think, it was, I want to say maybe 2017. One of my employees wanted to run, wanted to swim an open water swim. That was one of his goals. And I literally was like, you want to do it? We're going to do it as a company, and we're going to train with you, and we're going to get people to train with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Let me tell you, I am not a swimmer. I was a diver. Like I was not, aside from swimming in people's backyard pools, I didn't know how to do these strokes. I trained to do, it was 1 mile, it took me 45 minutes. Like it was a long time. But like that was the most, one of the most terrifying things. Cause again, I was training at 5 a.m. in outside pools and it was dark. And then I got into a lake where I couldn't see the bottom. And like, I literally had a panic attack. I was like, wait, it didn't occur to me that I cannot touch anything for 45 minutes. It's my body. And like, and then I did it. I was like, wow, like I just did something that was really mentally hard for me. So then of course the next year we're like, oh, let's do another charity thing. We are going to do a cycling race for Parkinson's because one of my team members' father had Parkinson's. Again, I had never ridden a bike before. I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. And it was a 30-mile bike ride. And I did it. And I had, again, a terrible fear of falling off of like roads because cars don't move over for cyclists. And I was like, okay, I survived this. What else can I do? Right. So it kind of just kept getting like, I kept upping the ante. And so I was like, I need to do something that scares me. Like I truly, like that's part of my personality to step so far out of my comfort zone. And when this came up, I was like, sure, I got to do this. I got to hike the Grand Canyon. And of course the person I thought of was you. I was like, she's the only one who's gonna hike the Grand Canyon with me. And it was absolutely amazing. It was one of the most amazing bucket list things that you and I could have done. And when do two moms have, whatever, 12 hours to literally be by ourselves and to talk without a phone ringing, without a schedule, and to see this beautiful part of the country? It was unbelievable. Like, I can't wait to do something like that again.
Yeah. I will not bull ride with you, though, just to be clear.
Okay, we will. Like,
no, not a fan of that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. But we will find something pretty awesome.
I will watch the bull riding. I will not participate in the bull riding. That's too funny. All right. So now time for Vogue 73 questions. No, I'm kidding.
That is on my Instagram that we are doing the Vogue 73 questions this month. So if you want to learn more about me,
right? Exactly.
Stay tuned.
No, I know. I mean, it's, and you know, you're, I feel like you've kind of just built the community that you wanted or you needed. And that's what I've always admired about, and that's about you, and has been so nice having you, even though I was ahead of you in PT school, you were the one that started your business first. You had kids first, you got married first, you did all that stuff. And so it's always been fun kind of watching you, like, all right, what's she going to do now? What's she going to pull me into next?
I'll always pull someone in.
Although I did do pelvic health first. I did pull you in the dark side for a little bit.
That is true.
And we did do CrossFit together. So we parallel on some things. And for you, like when somebody, you know, kind of talks about being active postpartum, and I kind of ask this to a lot of people on the podcast, like, what is that? What did that mean then? And what does it mean now?
I would say, I mean, first of all, I know a lot more now.
Yeah.
I really see it as my role a lot on education, a lot about teaching moms that return to fitness is it doesn't have to be what you see on Instagram. And you can break it down and make it really easy for people to start to get back to fitness, and just giving them some very simple tools, like breathing, for instance, can be a game changer for people. Positioning and understanding movement can be a game changer. So like, if I see an area that somebody can improve and they want to return to fitness, is truly like saying, you know, let's just do a session of physical therapy where we work through movement and exercise so I can understand how you're moving and where you're struggling and just give you those little bits of information that it's like mind blowing to them. They're like, yeah, holy cow. And so really just stepping back and being, seeing myself as the educator and not being like, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing enough. This isn't right. It's like, no, let me just help. I mean, and this is sometimes, I mean, I'll do it. I do Orange Theory. I do Shred 450. I do all these classes, but I'll see moms in there and, you know, and they're struggling and I'll say, you know what, can I just give you one piece of information that would make this exercise so much easier? And I show it to them. They're like, wow, like that is huge. Yeah. And so I see that as kind of just a helping role. And that's how I build community, is like, how can I help you and build this community? Because community is, it's such a big part of who I am and what I've built in my location that's near my house, is like, I want this community of wellness where we're there to help and not criticize and help make us better as women, as moms, and as active members of our communities and our families. And that's what I would say, is just being less critical and more helpful and understanding.
Yeah. And I think that really is a reflection of not only where hopefully women in sport and exercise and moms and in that space is evolving to, we're doing better at it. But I think also where hopefully our profession is going a little bit more from, you know, judge, jury, executioner, you're doing this wrong, that sort of thing, to, hey, there's a lot of ways to do this. What can I do that's going to support you? And again, I don't know if that's just been parallel to how long we've been in the profession or the fact that we're a little older, hopefully a little wiser and have mellowed out a little bit. I don't know if that comes with experience
anymore.
And maturity. I don't know. I hope so. But yeah, no, I think that's very similar to kind of how I feel about things, where, you know, I want to apologize to practically every mom that I ever saw before I had kids. I'm like, sorry, hope I didn't screw you up too much or make it.
So 100%.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. I would say this is the part where you spill all my secrets, but we're going to have to say that for another episode. But
awesome. We have a long history. There's a lot that we could dive into.
There's a lot, but we won't. But
we have lived together. We have done lots of fun things. So we know maybe a little too much about each other.
That's
what's important about having a friendship that lasts a lifetime.
Absolutely. No, I think it's one of the things that, you know, I do think, you know, at least with the last, I don't know if it's your business or COVID or just like life in general, is I do think that all of those things have definitely strengthened our friendship. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able, you know, go drop us in the middle of a canyon and we can just pick up like it was 25 years ago. It's, you know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty badass.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And there's very few people in life, you know, that have known you through your ups and downs and know the intricacies of like your past and what makes you who you are. And and when like we have a meltdown because something crazy, like, you know, we know, like we're the ones that have your back and there's no judgment. Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, can't you just get it together? It's like, no, like this is serious and we have to be there for each other.
Yeah.
We have our 6 a.m. phone calls. Like, I don't know what I would do without them. You know, like we literally, Carrie and I call each other probably at least 3 times a week after we work out at 5 a.m. But like, it's so helpful to have that friend that you can just be like, how's it going? And put things into perspective when, you know, your kid bombs a final and they lose their scholarship that they was to get them into the school they want to go to. And you're like, how did they just bomb something so bad? And like the thing they bombed was anatomy class that I taught at their high school. You're like, holy cow, this is unreal. So I can commiserate, and Carrie's like, okay, it's going to be okay.
And then, in the same breath, we can be like, all right, when's our next Grand Canyon trip? Because I've been looking at a rim to rim. Like, we got to get to that north side, right?
Yeah. And that's like the natural side that's supposed to be really, really super cool. And
We got to figure that out. All right. If you would like, if you're in the Atlanta area and you want to hang out in Lauren's community, her run group, check out Functionize Health and Physical Therapy. She is on Instagram. You can check her out at Functionize Health and at the Lauren Sauce. There really is no other. Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for being my dear, dear friend and for all the support that you give. And I just love you. So.
Anyway, I know. Me too. Right back at you. Thanks, Carrie. Right, thanks for being on.
Did you enjoy the podcast? If so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell a friend to do the same. Are you a postpartum mom or postpartum pro wanting to know more about getting back to running after baby? Check out all my free goodies on carriepagliano.com. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Carrie Pagliano and her guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.